Welcome, everybody, to Are You Not Entertained? This is episode number 87. Today is November 18th, 2017. And since I already did an American Horror Story blog just like 2 days ago and a Stranger Things blog or podcast, we're going to do a Walking Dead one. Me and Eric haven't done one since last year. We thought it'd be a great idea to come back and talk Walking Dead and probably go off topic quite a little bit. With that being said, how are you doing, Eric?
Good, Ken. How are you?
I'm adequate.
Good. That's all we can ask for in life.
Getting ready for like National Fat Guy Day. That's always a good holiday for all fat guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Walking Dead so far, we're at the quarter mark, and this felt like a good spot to actually do a podcast. And it's funny because like last night as I was, spent like 3 hours writing comments to everybody on the blog, and in the midst of writing, I'm like, we haven't done a podcast yet, and like I told you, it was like 5 a.m., like, I'm not going to message him about it now.
Yeah, I was sleeping at 5 a.m.
Yeah. So, one thing I didn't mention is that if for some reason you have to, like, talk on the side, there's on your little wire on here, you have a little button that looks like a mute button. You have a volume up and down and then a bigger button.
Yeah, yeah.
When you click that bigger button, you're going to have a red light. And when the red light's on, you're going to be muted and I can't hear you. Okay?
Okay, okay. So I won't touch it unless I need to.
Yeah, it's fine. Melanie was great because she was trying to learn it when her and I were doing it. It's one of those things that you got to get used to.
Right.
All right, so it feels like, I think it was Brianna on the blog said that so far this whole season feels like a season of 24, and the fact that it's like all one day, like there's so much shit that's happening.
Right, it's all one continuous. It's all continuous motion.
Yeah, it's like, if you're gonna call it all-out war, you expect it to go on, like, numerous days. That's, you know, wars go on. So...
Right.
It's kind of unique in that sense. But, let's go back to the opener. We had the opening, we had, let's start off with what? Rick, Ezekiel, and Maggie kind of giving their little rah-rah speeches, and then they went out and attacked. I like the speeches. I thought they were good. I don't know if it's because I don't hate Maggie by no means, but she's not a good speech giver. I don't feel.
No, she's not. She's at this point, she's the scorned widow. And she was never a good, like, rally person. You know, Rick and Ezekiel, they had that chemistry, that vocal explosiveness, where Maggie just kind of like screaming because she's pissed. It's weird.
Hers is like the heartfelt thing. Ezekiel's like the trained theatrical actor, and Rick is just like, "Come on,
I'm
Carl,
pissed.
Let's do this,
Coral, Coral."
In that first episode, something that you and I definitely talked about. We were talking about the insane amount of ammo that was used. To me, that was absolutely fucking absurd. Couldn't they have wasted like a quarter of that and been just as effective? Or was there a bigger game plan?
It's really funny. That first episode, that first gunfight that they had, and they're just... I'm not even going to get into the logistics of that kind of a firefight and that kind of a gunfight. They would be ankle deep and spent brass. You know, you talk to anybody who really shoots at all, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. They could have used a third, like you said, a third of the ammo and gotten their point across without blowing apart the side of a building for no good freaking reason, you know?
Do you feel that it was more, like, I understand it was to send a message, but was it partly to draw the walkers and that's why they blew so much ammo, or were they just seriously like, hey, we got a ton of fucking ammo and we are ready to show you what we got?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think it was a show of force to the saviors. Look what we have all these guns and all this ammo, and... On the same side, it was probably to draw the walkers, because everyone knows that walkers are sound-driven beings, and then that much noise is gonna attract somebody or something to that site, and that was their probably a two-headed same. You know, that was probably the goal, was to draw the walkers in to show force. But again, in a post-apocalyptic world where, you know, when they're on the farm and they were target shooting and wanted to conserve ammo, now all of a sudden it's let's blow through, you know, what's probably 1,000 rounds or more this late in the game.
Right. It, like, I think I mentioned that possibly in this one, that to me, a bullet equals a life in this universe. So to blow through, you know, 1,000 bullets, that's 1,000 lives saved in some capacity or another. You could put it that way. So just, had we seen casualties or something come from the gunfight, we didn't even see any casualties, I don't think.
No, they were just wasting ammo.
Like, they could have shot Negan or anybody that was up there, and they failed. Like, alright, so this was a big gripe of mine. How did they not bring at least, like, at least two sharpshooters with them? To just, they straight up want to kill Negan. That's what they say.
That's their, yeah.
So,
and for someone not to have a rifle with a scope on it is ridiculous. Someone to sit back away from all the gunfire and the rabble rousing and try to pick them off without him even knowing, to go to a bunch of automatic weapons and start going through rounds is ridiculous. You got to have someone who can sharpshoot.
Who would be the sharpshooter at this point?
Probably Morgan.
I was going to say Carl would be, and I know they kept him behind exactly for that reason.
For that reason.
Because they lost Sasha and Andrea, who were both.
Yeah, even Carol could probably do it.
Even Carol was off doing the other stuff, which...
Yeah.
All right. Off topic, kind of, but, like, the whole thing of... I still don't understand, as you said, walkers are attracted by smell and sound. I didn't understand why they hid. Remember in the beginning of that episode, they hid on the overpass while I didn't understand, like, there was no point. The walkers weren't going to be able to, like, Superman fly up there and attack them. Like, so what if they saw them? They still would have kept going with the herd. There was no, like, a danger, so I didn't understand the hiding aspect.
I thought that they were timing them to see how far they could move in a certain amount of time.
Oh, so they took a scientific method.
So that they would know where the horde was at any, you know, at a certain point. Okay, they're moving this far. Let's not start attacking now because the horde's too far away and our plan's going to get screwed up. That's the way I saw it.
That makes some sense. Better than my they can't jump like Superman theory.
Right, which is still a valid point. They can't jump again. These aren't 28 days later zombies. These are
Walking Dead zombies. Oh, gosh. I feel that that's a franchise that's going to get remade in the next 10 years. That was very popular, and they only made the two of them. So
yeah.
I could see a reboot or a continuation. I could see either or, really.
Yeah.
I don't think reboots are the end-all, be-all, but I still also feel that... My biggest issue has long been that the films that are chosen to be rebooted are often films that don't require the reboot. There's plenty of good films that are so dated that could really use an update. Like, I'm honestly behind the idea of possibly doing, like, a new Highlander, just to see what they did with it.
But there could be only one.
There can be only one, yes. But then there was the one TV show. Then how many movies was there?
I don't even know. I know there was more than it probably deserved, but it in this day and age, with the technology that they have, they definitely could do something better with that franchise and make it better.
Right. Like, whereas, I mean, I know you're not a horror guy, but I know that they're remaking Pet Sematary.
Oh, I saw that.
That's a movie that, like, I just watched it this Halloween. It still holds up. Like, it doesn't feel out of place. It doesn't feel poorly done. There's nothing... I don't sit there and go, geez, they could really do something better here. There's nothing to improve on.
I can understand that, but how many times can Freddy fight Jason before it gets stupid? Or how many times can they make a Halloween movie before it gets just played out and let's go to another section?
You know? Oh, sure. They killed...
How many Halloweens were there? There was like 13 Halloween movies?
10. 10 of them. 10. There was one through 8, and then the two Rob Zombies. There's been... Oh, God. There's 12 Friday the 13th movies, if you count Freddy vs. Jason. And then Nightmare on Elm Street, there is 9, if you count Freddy vs. Jason.
That's insane.
Leatherface, the one that just came out this year, was the 8th movie in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Child's Play, I want to say there's 7. And that's the problem, is that they keep going back to this well in this genre, rather than making something new, creating something new. And, I mean, yeah, they did it with Saw, and then look at this. We had Saw 8 this year.
Right.
Like, holy shit. Yeah,
that's what I hope doesn't happen to this series with them beating the proverbial dead horse. Like, at some point, it's got to end good, bad, or indifferent. You know what I mean? And I just hope that it ends on a high note instead of drawing it out to make the money and keep the ratings up. Like, eventually it's going to die out. But I hope it does it good and not draw it out.
At what point do you think it's... I was really trying to think about, like, how much money they must charge advertisers and stuff, because think about it, they have a huge cast. They have probably like 40 named characters, like names we know, plus a lot of other faces that we recognize
on a regular basis.
On a regular basis, plus all the stunt people to be the walkers, plus the like makeup artists. Like, that many makeup artists cannot be cheap. No. The special effects can't be cheap. That's why, you know, as we'll get to about the tiger, that was a valid reason. At some point, it just strikes me that this franchise can't continue to be terribly profitable due to everything that comes with it. Because they're clearly not going to kill off a ton of characters this season or next season. Well, next season they will.
Next season they will.
Next season, spoiler alert for anybody, there's going to be a lot of heads on... It's going to be Game of Thrones-like with heads on spikes. So that's just a fair warning that when the next big baddie happens, there's a lot of people that are going to be really sad and pissed off, which I'm kind of excited for, quite frankly. It was a good moment in the comics that said we needed to cut some dead weight and a couple of key people. Even if they don't follow the exact people that they killed in the comics, obviously they're still going... They have to do enough to make an impact with the next big bad thing.
Right, it can't go... It's got to go Glenn and Abraham. It can't be just people who we don't care about, you know?
Right, and...
Unfortunately, they're running out of them, but, you know?
it's interesting because, like... Yeah, I reference the comics, but, like, the comics didn't have nearly as many, like... I mean, as everybody knows, Daryl and Merle were not in the comics. Carol died off in the prison way back when because she was like this chubby bitch that wanted to, like,
Andrea,
fuck Carol and, or fuck Rick and...
Rick and...
Lori, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then Andrea and Dale were
together. Yeah.
That raised the two boys that were... They were the girl twins.
Lizzie and Mika,
look at the flowers, Lizzie. Yeah. So, they can't... You know, and the fact that Rick still has his right hand.
Yeah. You know, I always thought that they didn't do enough. I feel that any comic readers would agree. The governor was not made nearly as menacing in the show as he was in the TV series. Because in the comics, he rapes Michonne and he cuts off Rick's hand.
Yeah.
I understand.
And Michonne, cuts off, like, every part of him.
Yeah. Like, it's brutal.
It goes, like, insane. It's brutal, you know. And I can understand the shock value. They can't, you know, it's 9:03 in the morning on Cinemax, so they can't necessarily decapitate a dude like they would on anything else. But that was, he died a brutal death. And,
yeah.
It's definitely an offshoot, you know.
Alright, going back to the show, let's talk about the fact that... let's talk about Old Man Rick. And what'd you think about the hair?
I thought it was great.
Yeah?
I thought it was great.
It was like an old man cut and everything.
It's like an old man cut, and he's hobbling around his house with Michonne and looking at, I can only assume, is the daughter
Judith?
There. That they Judith that they never show.
Yeah. And they were listening to Weird Al. Like somehow Weird Al survived the apocalypse. So
the apocalypse, you know. You know. I would have liked a better song, you know. Maybe Beat It or Eat It or something, you know, a little
Fat,
catchy. But that was Fat or something, you know. The Saga Begins, some Star Wars reference would have been funny,
man,
but
yeah. It was still like I as soon as I heard, like, all it took was like two beats of the song. I was like, ha, Weird Al, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was just so different because the last time we heard music inside that particular house was Boston's More Than a Feeling. So, like, they went from More Than a Feeling to Weird Al. It's like such a contrast.
An eclectic collection of music for the apocalypse.
The other thing I want to talk about, regarding the flashback, we see Rick clearly, I think he was tear-eyed at a point. He looked like he was mourning somebody. Do you think that's something we're going to find out in mid-season finale or season finale? Who he's...
Well, when he's in front of the graves?
Yeah, yeah.
He's standing menacingly in front of the graves?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that's going to probably pop up either, like you said, mid-finale or beginning of next season, depending on how fast this war progresses. Because, again, we don't know what happens in the TV version of the war. We don't know what transpires, so... That's either going to be how fast the war happens. We'll probably find out.
Yeah,
who is in those graves?
I'm thinking, if they go with what I think they're going to go with, the clue that I'm holding on to, and I'm probably wrong. I noticed that one of the shots there was stained glass behind him, so I instantly thought Father Gabriel before Father Gabriel was in the love trailer with Negan. So I'm still going to say it's Father Gabriel's grave. But it could be somebody even bigger than that, for all we know. Now you've read the comic, right?
Or something? I've read some of it. I had the continuums, the big books,
the compendiums. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The compendiums, yes, the compendiums. I had three or four of those, so I've read the comics in that aspect. But they ended at a certain point. I'm not sure.
Right.
It was a while ago.
So, all right. I mean, this isn't much of a spoiler, but in the comic, there was a character, Holly, who they had in the TV show. She kind of checked out Abe when he first took over construction at Alexandria.
Right.
In the comic, he breaks up with Rosita and he ends up with Holly. After Abe gets it in issue number 98, they do this whole raid on Sanctuary, like they did in the season opener. And there's a scene where she rams the RV and she ends up she's the last person there. She gets taken hostage and they bring her back as like a sign of good faith. But she has a bag over her head. I believe Heath is wounded and Denise is caring for him. And Denise gets bitten by the walker Holly. And then Denise, with her like dying breaths, like say, bandages up Heath so he can live. I still think that they could do a scenario like that. It'd be out of the timeline that was in the comic, but I could easily see them returning Father Gabriel and him biting somebody. I think that'd be an easy way to take out another character.
Yeah.
Well, it won't be Heath, but... Because Heath just... He didn't film anything. He
just disappeared.
Because he did the new 24 show, and I had read that he didn't film anything for this season, so I don't know if they ever plan on answering that. It seems to me like it wouldn't take much to just film like somebody wandering and finding the zombie Heath. Like,
the zombie Heath, right, yes. Just a zombie look-alike Heath.
Closure, yeah.
Closure, at least. But I mean... In hindsight, why would you leave the juggernaut that is The Walking Dead for 24, which was a short run show? Like, maybe that wasn't the smartest thing to do.
Right. Like, I understand why Sinequa Martin Green went for Star Trek. Like, that's a pretty big franchise.
That's a pretty big thing. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I understand why some people leave, but geez, some people leave and it's like, for what? What are you really leaving for?
Where are you going? Are you the next Iron Man? No. You're going on 24, which is a limited run TV show. You're not going to be the juggernaut that is Walking Dead as long as you don't piss anybody off. You won't die early, and you'd be okay.
Like Merle, he went on to do great things after, you know?
Yeah.
He did Guardians 1 and 2.
He did Guardians 1 and 2, which was a great, you know.
And he's a great character after he did, he did the Belko experiment this past, I think that came out last fall or early this year, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't say it was a good movie. He was a clear-cut person that was going to get killed early on because he was, like, the only big name. It was one of those things I don't know what to compare it to other than this, everybody's kind of stuck in, it's like this hunt everybody down type game where there can only be like one or two people and you know who's going to make it towards the end type thing. It lacked a lot of suspense, to put it that way.
Did it? I didn't even...
I don't recommend it. Like, I don't recommend it for even hardcore horror fans. I don't recommend it.
I didn't even know it existed.
So, even if it's Gabriel, do you think it's more than one person that Rick's like? I felt like there was going to be more than one grave there that Rick is mourning. And I know some people said Glenn or Abe, but they're both at Hilltop last I knew.
Yeah, they're both at Hilltop last time. I saw. I thought it was Abe and Glenn, but then I remember that they were at Hilltop, not at. So yeah, it's going to be more than one. Obviously, if it's the war, not everyone's going to survive. You know, they're going to use that. They could use that war as a caveat to get rid of people, per se.
I think Morgan's a good shot here, but I know this is like the worst way of thinking about it, but I don't think they're going to kill off two black dudes in the same season. I really don't think they're going
to
do that.
No, they have to replace them with one, like they did with
T-Dog, Tyrese.
T-Dog, Tyrese.
Yeah.
That kid who died in the hotel with Glenn and Beth.
Oh, yeah. Was it Tyler? Or his name's Tyler? His real name is Tyler. Yeah.
I don't know what his name was in the show, but it was that kid who got his face chewed off in the door.
Yeah, one of the goriest deaths.
One of the goriest,
Noah.
Most violent deaths to date.
Noah was.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was just a kid just trying to make a living in the world, and he gets his face chewed off in a vestibule.
And Oscar was a short-lived character. He was one of the prisoners with Axel. He was the black guy that died when they invaded Woodbury.
Oh yeah,
he had no run.
He was a write off.
So I just don't foresee them killing off two major black people. And they killed off Bob and Sonequa, Tyrese. Like, is there only?
I can't see Morgan going anytime soon. As conflicted as he is, he doesn't do anything impulsively. Definitely thinks things through as far as not dying and not doing anything stupid to get him to die. I could see Father Gabriel going like that. Morgan, he's a very interesting character, and I don't see him going, at least not in this season. Maybe next season.
Yeah.
Or in the break between, you know, but I don't see him going.
Morgan is definitely... I don't think it's a leap to say he's one of the top three most interesting, diverse characters, like deep
for sure
characters that they've made. And he's such a Lenny James is an amazing actor. Not that I know him from too much, but I loved him in Snatch. I'll never forget his performance in Snatch. Loved it. Father Gabriel, and I'll go on record in saying that I hated his death in the comic. It was meaningless. It was pointless, and it was left so like. Bullshit. It was such a bullshit death that if his death can have meaning in the TV show and he has to go a little sooner, I'd rather it have meaning than it just had served no purpose in the comic. It was just the death.
I'm pretty sure that they would put some sort of meaning behind his death because of he's been, you know, somewhat of a pivotal character in the TV show. I don't think they would just kill him off and...
They rebuilt him last season, which was really... I thought they did a great job rebuilding him as a character.
Yeah for sure. For sure.
So, let's see. What else happened? The wasted ammo. Honestly, it was just like a big fucking shootout, and then there was the grenade or whatever, the smoke bomb, whatever that happened with like Ezekiel and Carol. That kind of like ended that episode and started the next one. Are you at all surprised that Negan didn't have any snipers on the roof? Like, I thought he would have to have some kind of... He has all those people, plus he has, quote-unquote, is working with the Scavengers, who we haven't seen all season. Like,
or heard of.
It just seemed weird that he didn't have anybody guarding Sanctuary in and of itself. Like, I get the outpost, and that makes all the sense in the world, but still, wouldn't you have people stationed?
Yeah, if I had something like his, I would definitely have people up on rooftops or treetops or whatever to see farther out, because, you know, it's the apocalypse. There's no air traffic. There's no truck noise or traffic. You know what I mean? So you hear and see everything coming. You'd be stupid if you have that big of a complex and that big of a compound not to have snipers or Overwatch or something of that nature. And I'm still surprised that he doesn't have that. Maybe he's just too cocky. Maybe he thinks that because of the numbers that he has and the iron fist that he rules with, that no one's going to do anything. But it's already been disproven because of what's happened. So yeah, I'm shocked that he doesn't have any sort of sniper Overwatch.
Do you think that he will ever... Do you think... God, I'm trying to say this in a non-spoiler way. When all is said and done in this war... Prior to the end of the war, do you think Negan will have figured out that Dwight is working both sides?
That's all going to depend on how stupid Dwight gets. If he's able to do what he's been doing and not expose it, because Negan has already proven himself to be a very smart villain. You know, he's able to see through people and see the truth and not... And not cut around any bullshit, but it's interesting to see if he finds out that Dwight's working for the other side, there's going to be hell to pay on everybody, because that's his Daryl, that's his, you know, it's we are all Negan and all that crap. So if see how stupid Dwight gets if he does, because he'll die a quick death. There won't be any remorse.
Yeah. Well, God, this is so difficult because I always have to keep in mind not many people have read it. Dwight plays such a pivotal role in the comic moving forward. Yes. Him and Eugene. Eugene has been. I mean, granted, he's finally going to get his episode this tomorrow, but. Eugene, I thought for sure this was going to be his season to really shine, and I still hope it is, because if they do the arc that they did with him in the comic, he comes out $1 million. He comes out like one of the three most important people of the whole comic. So I really hope that they manifest that, because he does such a great job. Josh McDivitt, or I think his name is, the guy who plays Eugene. He does such an interesting job. I really like him, and his character is really interesting. And I've been wondering, did at any point, like, Rick knows how to make bullets. He has the formula. Did they learn to manufacture, like, it seems like they would have shown us that they went and manufactured bullets. Doesn't it seem like they would have shown that if they did go and manufacture?
They had to manufacturing bullets at this point in the game. After Eugene got taken by Negan, he said, you know how to make ammo, and he said yes. They never got into it, but at this point they have to be reloading. They can't. There's just, I mean, they're eventually the stores are going to run out, or their supplies going to run out, especially with all these rounds that are blowing off. They have to be reloading. They have to.
How many years do you think it's been since Episode 1, would you say? I mean, obviously we're in Season 8, but it hasn't been 8 years.
I read somewhere that it's 3 years.
I would say any place 3 to 5 years seems about...
Seems plausible.
Yeah, because...
You know, but, I mean, the only fact is that they never show winter. But the way the progression is and the ages are, you have to... It's got to be 3, 4, 5 years at the most.
Yeah, I mean, you know, plus early on they wouldn't show winter. They did show, if you remember, the very first episode of Season 3, they showed, like, them as a group, like, going through every house, and they had, like, this clear-cut system of, like, divide and conquer every house and, like, look for every last thing. I loved... That was actually one of my favorite scenes ever in the show. It was such a... It was only like 3 to 5 minutes, but it was really well done, and it showed like how good of a unit they had become. I like things like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. I can't think of much else from the first episode. I know a lot of people made a big deal out of Future Rick and whatnot, but I think actually doing the Future Rick thing was kind of a mistake, because if they're doing Future Rick, then that means they're going to have to do Future Everybody.
Well, they showed Future Michonne, and they showed Future baby.
Judith, yeah.
Grace. Judith, yeah. But yeah, eventually, if they keep going with that timeline, that plot line, they're going to have to show, like I said, they're going to show Future whoever survives.
And Carl's going to be, Carl and Enid are going to be the toughest ones to do.
Right.
Because, like, it's hard to age
because
them.
Because you can't age them because they're not old.
Right.
It's hard. It's going to be hard.
Everybody else, it's doable. But once again, that seems like a lot of work on the makeup department and everything. But
yeah, a lot of special effects or CGI or whatever to get those them aged enough to however far down the road it is.
Unless, you know, unless I was like showing how this whole thing ends. Maybe people are jumping the gun from the comic fans saying, well, we know in the comics they did a time jump of, I think, 7 years. So people from the comic perspective are thinking, okay, they're doing that time jump, but maybe it's not going to happen that way. Maybe that future Rick is like really the end of the show.
Maybe it's a dream.
It could be so many things that I honestly struggle with the idea of them actually doing that long of a time jump, because I really think it'd be a lot of work. A few years time jump, perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Like, after the war, you want to show how everybody rebuilds and everything. There's a lot of cool little angles. It'll probably be boring to watch on TV, though. There's going to be a time frame, and I'm warning everybody right now. The frame from the end of All Out War to the next big baddie, I assure you, is going to be more drama and not, like, anything cool. And it's probably going to be, like, 4 episodes long of boredom.
It's going to be like The Farm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about The Farm. The first couple episodes of The Farm where you just wanted to choke yourself because it was so boring.
So boring. Like, really, Otis was like the high mark of the early days of The Farm. I love Otis. I don't know.
Long live Otis.
Yes, yes. And yet Shane did what he had to do. I always got to say, Shane did the right thing in killing Otis.
That was the turning point from not-so-crazy Shane to insane crazy Shane. After he does that and shaves his head and he's all...
The shaved loopy. Head looked so good on him, I thought. It was a really good look for him.
Oh, for sure. And you'll see, if and when you watch The Punisher, you'll see that transition, because in the first couple episodes of The Punisher, not to get off track, but he's got big beard and you know, hair and you know, he gets called a hipster a few times. I fucking hate hipsters. So he shaves his head, shaves his beard, and then you get the look that you've seen on TV with a bald head and everything.
Awesome.
That's Frank Castle. So yeah, you see that transition of him going from the character that he was before and then into back to Frank Castle.
Do they tell like his whole beginning story? Is that how does the show go through the beginning? Like how
you see the death of his wife in flashbacks. And it goes into the backstory a little bit of his military service and what happened that made him what he was. They haven't gotten into why his wife was killed or who killed his wife, obviously, because that would be a complete season destroyer this early in the game. But yeah, they do. They haven't. Like I said, it's all flashback seasons. It's all flashback scenes, and it's the same one. He's kind of reliving his nightmare over and over and over again, and you see that the torment that it causes him. But yeah, it's not really like, you know, Punisher, 2004 Punisher with Thomas Jane, you saw the whole progression of how his wife, you know, he killed that kid, and then as he goes away, and then his wife and kids are killed, and he comes back, and gets healed, and is the Punisher. Boom. This is flashback sequences.
So, Actually, that gave me two thoughts. One, speaking of Thomas Jane, I'm pretty sure I recommend this to Melanie. There's a movie on Netflix called 1922, starring Thomas Jane. It's a based on a Stephen King book, but it's not it's not horror. It's more, think of Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption, or even Green Mile. It's a story. And Thomas Jane has like such a unique accent. I don't know. I think it's something you could probably enjoy. I would recommend it. I'm recommending it to everybody. I thought it was... I didn't know if I was going to like it, and then I saw the trailer. I'm like, eh, I still don't know. But it has him, and it also has... Did you ever see the movie Walking Tall with The Rock?
Yes.
All right. So you know
that is my,
the bad
that dude? Is my favorite. That's my favorite wrestling movie of all time is Walking Tall with The Rock.
You know, like the blonde pretty boy guy that's the bad guy in that movie?
I hate that guy. Yes.
He's in 1922 as well. So,
oh, is he really?
Those are two notable people. And my other thought is, as you're describing The Punisher, I'm thinking, I wish HBO or Showtime, something like that, would actually do like a 10-episode story of The Crow. Like, really develop that whole... I love The Crow.
And they're bringing The Crow back, too.
Wait, they are.
As a movie with the guy who played Aquaman...
Oh, Jason, Momoa?
Whatever his name. Yeah. He's going to be Eric Draven. I love The Crow. I love that first Crow movie with Jason Lee. I must watch that movie 15 times. I just loved it. The second one was fucking terrible.
The soundtrack was okay, though. I will say that.
The soundtrack was okay, but the movie was terrible. The movie was
a disgrace.
I never
saw part three, did you?
No, I didn't even go there.
I couldn't.
No, I couldn't do it to myself. But no, I loved The Crow. That was such a great movie.
Did you know, I just learned this, I want to say last year. Are you a fan of the movie The Warriors?
No.
No. No. If I said the whole thing where... You have the guy with glasses on his tips going, Warriors,
with the bottles
yeah,
on,
come out to play.
Yeah, the bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That dude was in The Crow, and there's actually a subtle nod to the Warriors scene in The Crow. And I was like, holy shit, my mind was blown. Like, two of my favorite movies converged. I had no idea. It's cool, though.
He was the guy that you see with Draven's wife and a knife, and he's waving it back and forth. That's him?
He's the one that gets... Remember the car goes off the dock or whatever? Gets driven off?
Yeah.
He's that guy.
That guy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd like to see... Don't you think The Crow could go for like 10 episodes and get the HBO treatment?
You know, a limited run on HBO or even Netflix.
Sure.
Where they have more diversity. It could definitely do a 10 or limited run series. They could do so much with that. But I don't think I think the first movie was great, and then the subsequent two and three were freaking terrible, and it might have kind of tanked that series. Unfortunately, it kind of lost its way.
Sure.
Per se, but definitely a Netflix or an HBO or a Cinemax, something like that, something where they can do the violence and do the nudity and whatever they need to do without cable television restrictions, you know. So they definitely could do something.
Honestly, one of my favorite cinematic lines is in that movie. It's the whole "it can't rain all the time."
Yeah,
I fucking love that scene, man.
Yeah, and that, you know,
that
there's just so many one-liners in that movie. It's ridiculous.
You know that girl never. Yeah. Well, I think she just returned to do like a couple small things, like. Very recently, after that movie, she didn't return to acting because of
Brandon Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandon Lee was Jason.
Yeah, I was
Brandon
like, Jason Lee doesn't sound right, but I wasn't going to correct you because I didn't know.
Jason Lee was on My Name Is Earl.
I don't know. Beautiful movie.
Yeah, it can't rain all the time. That's a great movie. And I got so mad when they made those other shit ones. You know.
So I'm looking back. We're going to move on to episode 2 here. I'm trying to think back. We had the... That was the speech where Ezekiel... Wait, no. Was Ezekiel's speech in 2 or 3? It was one of those two where he's like, nobody's going to die type thing. And
oh, that was in 3.
Okay. 2 was when Morgan made the declaration that he's never going to die.
He's never going to die.
A lot of people saw that as a death knell for his character.
Don't ever say that.
Yeah. But that brought back some crazy... I loved watching Morgan. I really admit, I thought it was really stupid that they tried to fool the audience. Oh, maybe they shot Morgan. Let's go to commercial break. It's like, Walking Dead, stop with this. Just stop, okay?
Just cut it out.
Like, we get what you're doing, but it doesn't work for us anymore. It kind of irritates us more than anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, that was also the episode that Eric finally grew a pair of balls and went on the attack. Like, it was the most in-depth we've ever seen Eric's character, I want to say. And then he died in the following one. Honestly, did you like Eric's character in the least bit? I found him just a whiny, annoying character.
He was a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
He's just whiny, and I didn't really care for him. I mean, he was a character from... Alexandria?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was just he was always a background dude. You know, so he tries to step up and gets killed.
I would have liked to have seen him have a bigger role, but not as whiny as he was. So it was...
He was always very bitchy.
Did you know? Do you watch Talking Dead afterwards or no?
DVR'd, I've never seen it.
He was on in after episode 3, and I liked him as a person, and he actually has something else coming out that sounded kind of interesting, but just in the show, I sat there, I was like, good, it's about time, and I almost felt like the producers agreed with me, because they didn't even, like, let him die as a walker. Everybody else gets killed as a walker. They just, like, no, fuck
and
this guy.
He just... Yeah, fuck this dude. He's dead in the tree and then disappears. And you never see him again. You know?
It cracked me up, honestly. We had the big dispute between Tara and Jesus, which would eventually become the big dispute between Morgan and Jesus. Since we're kind of... 2 and 3 are very connected. So I'm just going to combine them. I assume you're siding with Tara and Morgan on the whole... Like, it's pointless, right?
It's pointless. At this point in the game, it's pointless. I don't know what Jesus' plan is, or if he's having a kick of conscience, but this is war. This is for the survival of everybody in the group, and hostages only complicate matters. You know, if you're there to clear a building, clear the building. That dude almost killed all three of them because Jesus had a change of heart for some reason. I side with Tara. They should have offed him immediately. I side with Morgan. They're not. This isn't regular warfare. This is guerrilla warfare, and no one gets out alive. You know,
this is fight and die, live or die. But I mean,
live or die. Yeah. This is kill or be killed. Unfortunately, yeah. It's come down to that.
I mean,
and
can you let somebody like Jared? I like the character of Jared because he's a really good dickhead. But you can't let that guy live. The long hair.
That's the long hair. Yeah, he should. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, he's just a pain in the ass, and he ends up causing problems because Jesus and Morgan can't agree.
Right. And I want to say, fuck you, Walking Dead producers, for making me side with Tara, because that's the one thing I have long held out and not done ever in the history of the show, and you made me agree with Tara, and I felt filthy.
I felt dirty and used. Make me agree with Tara. How dare you? Yeah, she's definitely stepped up in that realm of character development as far as making a name for her in the series.
Honestly, if she'd cut back on the one-liners that aren't usually good, and if we never get another Tarasode going into the fucking Oceanside ever again, like, if we can avoid those two things...
Yeah, that was an hour my life will never get back.
I want to say that was the most unlikable episode I've ever seen. It just... There was some bad early episodes, especially season 2 at the fucking farm, but, honestly... There was that, and season 4 had a couple of stinkers in the second half after everybody dispersed from the prison. Like, the Beth and Daryl whole episode, I just... It was like, I wish they would have intercut it with somebody else.
Yeah, but that episode really sealed the Beth and Daryl friendship and his subsequent reaction to her death.
It did. It served a purpose, whereas Oceanside...
It served no purpose whatsoever. And that whole Kingdom of Chicks and Rick and the dude that would walk her with the spikes in his head, that just made absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever.
The up, up, up with the scavengers, which I'm pissed. I want to see Pollyanna McIntosh again. I love, she's the leader of the scavengers. I've seen her in a lot of films, and I love her as an actress. Obviously, I was kind of pissed off at her character at the season finale when she turned. I could, but yeah, I was sad there. I was like, honestly, that was a really good turn. I did not see it coming. Like, when you don't see something coming, like, instant reaction is kind of upset, but in hindsight, I'm like, oh, that was pleasantly surprised that something, I didn't see that coming. I never would have predicted
it. Right.
So,
yeah. I hated her for that, by the way, returning.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because he did so much work to secure that, and then she just fucking turns on him. He wanted to stab her in the throat with a pencil.
I'm going to jump ahead just a bit, but it's a question that I want to ask before I forget it. Now that Rick and Daryl secured those two crates of guns and ammunition, whatever, what are they going to use it for themselves? Do you think that there's a chance that they may help rearm Oceanside? Do you think they go and take out the scavengers? What do you think that they're going to really do with that stuff? Because Rick has a plan.
Those two 50 cal, Browning 50 cal machine guns.
Was that the one that he was shooting from the back of the...
For the back of the Humvee? Okay, yeah. Browning 50 cal machine guns are... They put those on the airplanes. You know, they put those on C-130 gunships. They put those on, on the back of a destroyer. Those are decimation weapons. You get the right person and the right angle and the right height, you could take out an entire field like they did to the Kingdom. I can see him setting up some sort of plan to draw the Saviors out, you know, to take them out. Those are big bullets. They'll tell through a car like it's butter, you know. You could only hope that he wouldn't go to rearm Oceanside. Who gives a shit about them? I would hope that he would use those in defense or in attack of the Saviors.
Yeah, I'm happy that they got it. I'm really curious. Obviously, Rick has a plan. There was also explosives in there, right? I believe I saw some.
I believe there were grenades. Yeah.
I sit there and I think all the time, like, God, grenades would be so useful in this show, and they don't get used very much. And I have to imagine there's still got to be a good supply of grenades in the world, whether they have access to it or not, or can find it. I don't know.
Yeah, you would think that there'd be crates and crates and crates of grenades because no one thinks of grenades as a really useful weapon because you got to throw them people don't know how to use them. If they could get to a military base nearby or even a National Guard base nearby, then who knows, there may be grenades there, you know. But you'd think there'd be crates and crates of those damn things.
Not only are they a great weapon, they're a great subversion tech, like, because of the sound quality to divert the herds and stuff like that. Just seems
right. Yeah.
I
it seems useful and it's not being utilized.
Yeah. To go back to, let's see, episode 2, we had the return of fucking Morales, which was short lived, but I was really happy to see the guy because I have long been saying, what the fuck? There's been two mysteries in this show, possibly more, but two mysteries. One was solved in unaired footage. I was explaining where the Vatos from season 1. Remember the Vatos?
Yeah, when they took Glenn and then the weapons and the abuela. And
So in the season opener of season 2, there's a cut scene between Rick and, I don't remember who else, explaining what happened to the Vatos. So that was explained, it just never got aired. But Morales, that was the other one that just never got explained. So I liked it, and I liked his explanation. He wasn't really wrong in the fact that he found a group that took him in and he re-enhanced his life value. I can't argue with that. In such a shit world, he found value in his life again.
True. True. He said he lost his family and everything, so he found a group to take him in. So I'm sure when they found him, he wasn't in the greatest of conditions or whatever. Who knows? Maybe he had been lost for days or whatever, been fighting and lost his family. So you can't really fault him on that, you know. but his hatred for a guy he knew for like 3 days.
A tad over the top.
Less than that. A tad over the top. You know what I mean? He barely knew him.
Was the hate just from what Negan told him? I mean, think about it. Rick's group attacked that one outpost, and it was, you know, they thought, oh, we found Negan, and we killed him, and that was just nothing. It was just an outpost.
No.
Like, right. How many people, like, they're still way up on the Saviors. Like, they've killed way more Saviors than the Saviors have killed of the quote-unquote good guys. Like, probably like threefold, easily, I would say.
Right. Yeah, at least.
I can understand where Morales would be a little miffed if he was on that side and he was like, hey, we're just doing our job here. And he might not be privy to every last little thing that's being done with the city. I guess I just sit there and I put myself in that perspective. If I'm alone in the zombie apocalypse and somebody takes me in and they're nice to me and they give me a job and they let me earn my keep, I'm probably going to be happy with that group. Even if they have to do some harsh things, I'm probably still going... I can understand that perspective, basically.
Yeah, but then you go back to what Negan has done to other people in the group. You know, he's taken Dwight's wife, and he says how he takes other wives and everything else, so I'm sure it's a lot of brainwashing on Negan's side to Morales. You know, but again, it's an apocalyptic scenario. If you're by yourself, or you've lost your wife and kid, and now you're wandering alone, and these dudes show up, and you know, okay, you can come with us, you know, but listen, you have to do A, B, and C, but you can come here and hang out and help us and do your part, and then we'll give you food, whatever. So I'm sure it's blind loyalty.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He might not be privy to all of the top plans. He might not be privy to any of the plans. He might just be a citizen of the sanctuary.
But like once you're in, you can't get really out of it either. So that's like that's a whole other thing. It's like you get taken
again.
In.
That's where the brainwashing comes in. You know what I mean? If you're a community, you're just John Q citizen. You're not going to know what the top dog is doing. So you see these people come and attack your home. Now they're the assholes,
right?
Regardless of what you know about what's going on in this inner circle, so
I don't
fault him for his thinking because he probably didn't know any better.
It's like somebody living in a country that attacks another country. You're just kind of like you back your country type idea.
You back the play that's been dealt to you, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's your homeland. That's your house,
right?
You get these people coming with all,
even like a. So. I mean. Really off, but I mean, like, a sports team, when, like, your sports team signs a player that you just hate, like, you usually still back the team, and you move on.
Yeah.
Gracie was another big thing. I thought Gracie was a big thing. I don't know. Do you think they're ever moving forward with anything with baby Gracie, or do you think that was just, like, a thing to get Rick to, like, fucking think so that there'd be dissension between him and Daryl for some drama?
That was probably more of a drama aspect than anything else, you know. At this point, Judith is 3-4 years old, and we never see her. Never, you know. And that's his daughter. That's like, you know what I mean? So I really think that the whole Gracie thing was just for dissension, for drama.
A plot tool, yeah.
A plot twist. Yeah. A quick plot twist to kind of humanize them for a second.
I really like Aaron a lot. It's weird. I like Aaron a lot, and I hated Eric. With that being said, I'm in favor of doing anything that gets Aaron a little bit more time because, A, the dude's actually really, really funny in real life. Not that he ever gets to do anything funny on the show, but I don't know. I just the character Aaron in the comic is so much better developed than it is on the show. I'd like to see him... I don't necessarily care if it's with Gracie. I just hope that he gets something more moving forward. So we discussed that we don't agree with Jesus and his philosophy. I mean, do you agree that the whole... My based on everything that I know from both sides of things is that obviously there's going to be a community. After the war, there's going to be rebuilding and a community. In the comics... Sanctuary still exists as a community in some capacity. Is this just an excuse to have characters that quote-unquote run Sanctuary?
Yes. They got it, you know. I mean, you never really see past communities, you know. So I'd be interested to see if this actually gets any farther after the war, if Sanctuary is just burned to the ground and razed, or if they use it as a good guy outpost, you know.
Well, they got that nice garden going for them, which is nice.
You know, Terminus had a garden too.
Ah, Terminus.
You know?
I look back on the rescue, the whole season finale and the season premiere, like when they got trapped and when they escaped. Like, I think that was like two of the best episodes they ever did. It was so fun.
That was the best rescue and aftermath of the entire series. That's where we got the Carol is a badass and everything else. Yeah, I really enjoyed those episodes. You know, even with, you know, the Archer and whatever,
the samurai, you
know, samurai, the archer, and the whatever. They were good episodes, yep. And I wish they weren't cannibals, because that was that could have been a great plot extender to not just go in, firebomb, and wipe them out, and then leave. You know what I mean? That could have been another good outpost. Another good story.
They never even called them the Hunters, I don't think, on the show, did they?
No, they never said the Hunters.
That was the name they were given in the comics. And I loved Gareth. Like, I would have liked to have seen him survive, but my God, he did get a brutal fucking death.
He did.
And with the red-handled machete that they got to do their little 30-second stories during.
Yep. It's crazy.
So, in this week's blog, there was the question about, like, what one-on-one fights would be like. And I can't remember who brought up if Sophia was still alive versus Carl, who would win. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that, because I'm like, Carol would have taught the hell out of that girl. Like, that would be a serious matchup, I think.
Yeah, when she was teaching the kids in the prison?
Yes.
With the knives, trying to teach them how to use knives. So she would have taught her to survive.
Sophia would have been a badass, I really feel.
Yeah, she was little, but but as she grew up, Carol, I really think the death of Sophia worked on Carol two sides. It made her a badass when she saved them from Terminus, but then something happened to her and she flipped. And she kind of came like a subservient, scared of everything person that we saw. And it was very interesting to see her kind of swing back the other way slowly.
I'll say another big moment for her, in my opinion, because they didn't focus a lot about it, but Carol being trapped in that closet in the prison for what we assume is multiple days had to have done a number on her psyche. And I think that was not the beginning, because Sophia died. But, like, it was like she finally got a chance to breathe and actually soak it all in. And I really felt that was a huge turning point, even though they never focused a lot on that aspect.
But no, because the way Sophia died, it wasn't like an instantaneous death like Andrea's sister. I can't remember her name offhand. Amy. You know, Andrea saw Amy die. Andrea held her in her arms for what seemed like 12 hours, then shot her in the head in the morning before they buried her. So Andrea's able to see that. With Sophia, Carol didn't necessarily see her die. Like, you know, we see the big reveal when she comes out of the barn and Rick shoots her in the head. So I don't think she had time to really grieve and process it in the correct way of her daughter dying.
The closure wasn't like, way that
the closure
Andrea
wasn't there.
Got, yeah,
right. Yeah. Andrea got solid closure, held her sister in her hand and gave her the thing, and then they shot her in the head. But there wasn't that closure. It wasn't that instantaneous. Oh my God, she's dead.
Yeah, that's when they started the whole Daryl and Carol, will they or won't they? And that was season two, and we're in season eight, and we're still wondering if that's ever going to happen. And I never talk about romance in shows, but I really would be okay if that happened. Like, I'm not rooting it for or anything. I'm just saying I'd be completely okay if it happened. Although I like Morgan, Ezekiel and Carol right now seem to be fun.
Right, but I was rooting for it too. I'm like, well, they're you know, best friends or together, whatever. It would have been nice, but it might have taken away from the show if they had introduced, because they've never really had a solid romance storyline in the show.
Glenn and Maggie are probably the closest thing, and Michonne and Rick, they're trying to shove down our throats, but it's not working for me.
Right, but Glenn and Maggie was more of a over time. You know, it wasn't like a quick 3-episode or 4-episode. It was over time, and they never really put it out there that, oh, Glenn and Maggie are together. It was always in the background. Even when Herschel was alive, it was always in the background. And even after his death, it was still, we got to get food, we got to get supplies, we got to scavenge, we got to do this, we do this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, we're still together, but we still have stuff to do. And I think that Carol and Daryl, they might have tried to shoehorn it in somewhere, and it might have taken away from the rest of the series.
I can see that. Or it could have possibly taken away some of Glenn and Maggie's shine at the time, too. That's entirely possible. I mean, we did have other shorter-lived couples, like Abe and Rosita was rather short-lived from what we saw on screen. Bob and Sasha. Yeah,
and even had Daryl and Beth for a couple episodes when they were separated from each other.
Yeah.
You kind of thought that, but then again, Beth was a teenager.
Let's not forget Shane and Andrea in the car.
That's true. That's true. And Shane and Lori after
birth. Oh, yeah. Yes. God damn. Andrew and Governor, one of the worst romances.
One of the worst romances to be conceived on
TV. But we did get to see some, what was it, some side ass of Andrea or something?
Some side, Andrea side butt, yep.
Yeah, so there was that. I was not upset.
She should have lived longer.
I hated the Andrea character presented to us on TV, but I really liked her in the comic.
In the comic, she was totally different.
So much different, and I won't say anything beyond that, but, I mean, her character has gone so many different routes since then. It's interesting. So, because they've gone so different, in the comic, Michonne was, like, the Black Widow. Like, every time she got, like, with a dude, like, he died. Like, I want to say Tyrese at one point, Morgan at one point. Then she ended up with Ezekiel for a little bit. And there's, like, this whole thing where she, like, went off on her own after the war for a long while. And they actually did a Walking Dead video game, a Telltale series, on that experience. I actually haven't played it yet. I regret that I haven't, because I like those games. I'm curious if, you know, obviously now Michonne's with Rick, and Carol may or may not end up with Ezekiel in a romantic. I don't foresee Carol going on another expedition on her own. Like, she's already done that.
Yeah, she's already done that, and it didn't work out very well. So I don't think she would leave again.
Yeah, like, I love the fact of not knowing. Like, I guess that's my point, is I do like not knowing. I'm trying to think. This episode, I mean, we ended it with episode 3 with the whole kingdom get slaughter, and now we got Gunther, which, my God, it was great reading the responses on the blog, because I think I was the only person that liked Gunther, and that's just because of who I am. God, I thought he played the role great. I just loved the performance.
I wanted to see him die the first minute I saw him. He just has that nerdy, no one ever liked me, I got my ass kicked in high school, you know, I never got a date look in his persona, and he's trying so hard. You know that him going after Ezekiel was just to appease Negan. That's all it was. We're going to get you. I got you now. I'm going to show that I'm a big guy and everything else.
For the past, like, 30-plus years of his life, he's been living there waiting for that one moment where he could feel like a big dude. And he finally had it. And
he had
it. So unappealing.
This is his chance. Prove himself. You know, for the past 30 years, he's been wedgied and butt-kicked and gotten his milk money stolen by the bigger guy. And now he has the king. And he's going to bring the king back to Negan. And Negan's going to have whatever for him. And he did play the character great. And someone who saw Talking Dead said that that's what he wanted in his character. He wanted his character to be hated right off Jump Street. And he did it because
he personified it, yeah.
I was 3 whiskeys in, and I wanted to see him bloody death as fast as possible.
Yeah, it appeared that you were definitely not the only one. I was in the vast minority. I sat there, and for me, I was like, God, this guy needs to be in a Rob Zombie movie, because Rob Zombie does a lot of movies with characters of that grimy look and always kind of waiting for that.
Yeah.
Like, he's a perfect Rob Zombie character. He didn't quite fit, but for this episode, it worked well, and he was the victim of the fucking battle axe that was,
which was fantastic.
Yeah, it would have
only been better if he had his face chewed off at the same time as Jerry is slicing him down the middle with a battle axe.
Even as a horror fan, I still loved how they did that death. Not by show, like, they didn't show much, but the way that they showed it was masterfully done without being, you know, offensive,
without being overly bloody or offensive. They showed it, the angle that they showed it was like, you could, you know, it was very, I thought it was great, you know, because A, you don't expect it, and B, it's not like, you know, Army of Darkness shooting blood like a fountain, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
It's very well done. You
Do you
know?
Think that was Jerry's first kill on a human being?
Probably.
I'm going to say it was. By the way, Jerry, when you first see Jerry, that look on his face and his hair, like, was just, I don't know, riveting to me. I loved it. I was like, good. I'm glad to see that look of Jerry.
I like Jerry.
Now, all right. So I asked the question about, you know, him using the battle axe on the chain and trying to whatever. Now, with the battle axe and him being as strong as he is, couldn't he have used, like, that axe to, like, try to break through the chain link? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
No.
No?
Chain link is, you know, if you ever shake a chain link fence, it's very flexible. It's very pliable metal. You'd need cutters to get through a fence. I know I said something about he was just trying to save his king, but then I read some of the other things, and someone had said that was strictly a panic move.
It was, yeah. It was panic.
You know, the king was hurt. They had the walkers were coming. It was strictly a panic move. And, you know, you get that flight or fight response in your brain. His brain was thinking flight. Gotta get out of here. We're gonna, you know. So him using, you know, the axe on the weakest link, which was the lock and the chain, obviously didn't work. But it was probably the best way, because, you know, chain link fence is not necessarily conducive to chopping. You'd need a cutter or something to cut through the chain.
I guess I was thinking, like, you know, finding a hole in the fence, because, I mean, if we're saying core of the zombie apocalypse, there's bound to be holes, unless this was a Negan outpost, so they could have put up new ones and maybe there wouldn't be any holes. So
they could have reinforced it. They could have did something to make it stronger.
Sure. It was just something I'd considered, I guess. It's a shit situation, no matter what.
Yeah, it's a shit sandwich, no matter which way you slice it. And who knows if he would have had time to scan each side of the fence to look, oh, there's a hole, let's run down there.
Plus, Jerry might not fit through the hole. If we're being honest, he's a large dude. That'd be like me
doing
it.
He's a big dude. Yeah, it's he wouldn't. Who knows if he would have gotten caught and gotten his leg chewed off or something to that nature. But that was strictly a panic move to try to break that lock with a battle axe.
So that'll bring me to the whole Carol foregoing shooting the two guys with the crates. She forego it to save Jerry and Ezekiel. And the whole thing, I know I'm nitpicking, but, like, I'm sitting there thinking, why didn't those guys shoot her? She gave them an opportunity for them just to gun her down. And she had the upper hand. She had more ammo than they did. I believe they referenced that point.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, the one guy was out of ammo, and the other guy had like two or three rounds left, and she had more than them. The producers are taking liberties with the fact that they write the stories, because who knows if Rick and Dara would have gotten the 50 cows at all, and that was their mission. That was the mission at hand, was to get those 50 cows. Granted, no one had wanted to see Jerry and Ezekiel get eaten alive, but in the end, the mission's the mission.
Yes, the mission's the mission, and I call bullshit that Carol just magically knew that Daryl and Rick would be out of trouble at that exact moment to chase down that vehicle. Like, the timing of it felt absolutely absurd to me. She's like, no, there's no way in hell she would have known that exact timing because Rick and Daryl were under shit.
Right, they could have been easily dead in that building. You know, she had no idea of knowing who where they were at that time.
Right.
And she just foobarred the mission to save Ezekiel and Jerry.
Which I get because he... I get to an extent because Ezekiel means more than a lot of people in what he encompasses. Like, his life has...
Yeah, he's a pivotal character.
Yeah. You know. And he's pivotal to keeping everybody's morale up and everything. But it was just, I don't know, it just struck me odd. I would rather have seen Carol just kill those two guys. And I know we wouldn't have had the fun little shootout, car chase bullshit, but I didn't feel that was necessary
if she had the ammo, she had the upper hand.
Yeah.
She could have easily come around a corner and widened her angle of fire and taken them out, no problem.
And it's Carol. Like, we know and she could do that. So, like, that would have been no...
She's capable of you know, firing on those guys and taking them out without a problem. That was just, again, more drama to save story for Rick and Daryl. Little car chase, little whatever.
The only thing that was missing was some car chase music.
Or an explosion. Yeah,
something. And really... That guy did not mow down Daryl, and I know Super Daryl's not going to die, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, had that been anybody other than Rick and Daryl, at least one of the two people would have died. Because
you gotta figure,
he would have gunned them down.
They're in the back of a Humvee, okay? He's got a 50-cal machine gun. The distance between Rick and the truck was maybe 25 feet. Maybe. I'm giving just a blanket reference. If that dude can't hit a Jeep at 20 feet with an automatic weapon, he shouldn't be shooting the damn thing. Like, that would have tore that Jeep apart. It would have been Swiss cheese.
That's what I thought. I'm sitting there thinking, like, I have shit frame, but I still feel I might have been able to do better than that guy did. So, it seemed like drama and silliness for the sake of it, so they could...
For the sake of drama and silliness.
Yeah. And we've already talked about the explosives. How much longer before, like, are we going to get... We're going to get, it seems like, Eugene, Negan, Dwight stuff tomorrow night. And I don't know, like, do you think we're going to get more Hilltop or more Alexandria? Like, which one do you think we're going to get before the other? Because it's... I'm guessing they're probably going to do one full episode of what's going on at Hilltop, one full episode of Alexandria. I think they're just going to stretch the shit out of this.
They would almost need to, you know, because they've been so far on the road and fighting the Sanctuary and getting weapons. They would have to bring you back to both the Sanctuary and the Hilltop to kind of bring the story back to itself. I don't recommend that, but
I mean, really,
you'd almost have to.
We haven't had hardly any Michonne, Carl, Rosita.
No Michonne, no Carl, no Rosita.
And those are
no Eugene.
Right. No Kent.
Those are no Kent.
You know, a lot of people don't even know who Kent is. And I love referencing him in the blog, but there's actually a guy named Kent in the show.
Is he really?
He's not heavy set, but he's not. He's a little bit bigger than Tobin, and he has dark hair, and.
Oh,
he's a background dude,
okay.
But he's there a lot.
He's always there, yeah. You see him.
Yeah. I don't know if he's ever line, but his name's Kent.
He's there.
And I was so pumped when I found that out. And I'm a huge fan of Tobin, so I'm hoping Tobin doesn't... I hope Tobin's not involved in my theory of somebody getting patched up, like the whole Denise and Heath thing that I referenced. I hope that's not Tobin.
Oh, yeah.
Killed.
I hope that's not.
I like Tobin. He was...
Tobin.
He's a good dude, I think. I don't know. He's a dude that, like, I don't think I could be best friends with, but I could hang out with him, like, once a month and
have a
drink.
You could... You know, it's funny. They have the guy who, Negan's, the guy who plays Trevor.
Simon?
Simon. Thank you. You see, that dude in real life is funny.
Steven Ogg.
And I saw him. Yeah, and when I first saw him on the series, I was like, holy shit, it's Trevor.
I like him. Honestly, I think I like Jared better than Gavin. Like, I know Gavin's the leader of the group that picked up from the kingdom, but
yeah,
they did better with Jared than they did with Gavin, in my opinion.
They did.
But
they did.
Yeah, Stephen Ogg's really cool. Actually, I need a follow-up on Gregory. I know people hate him.
I hate that dude.
He cracks me up, and
I hate it. He is such a sniveling
he is.
Weasel.
I think he's going to die by mid-season. I think that's...
I hope so. He is just such a sniveling coward. And, you know, he's the classic I'm not for myself type of dude, and I'll do whatever it takes so that I don't die. You know,
he's the perfect character for this type of show, though, right? Like, he's a perfect guy to
you need one of them.
Yeah.
You need someone who you hate so much but never dies. You know, to extend that story, you know. And he wasn't... He's evolved into this sniveling... I don't like him.
Like, he's possibly the most cowardly person in the whole show.
Except for Eugene.
Even Eugene eventually fought against a couple of walkers to save Tara's life or something way back in season 5 or 6 or something.
That's true. He did prove himself a little bit.
Whereas Gregory had the chance to help Maggie out just last season and refused to.
Yeah, I hate that group.
I know. Well, I don't want to say I know because I don't think Simon was in the comic. I'm really wondering if Simon somehow finds a way to live, make it out alive at the end of All Out War. Maybe I don't think he can. I think if Negan died, I feel Simon would be the one that would possibly take over.
Stephen Ogg, the guy.
Yeah, Simon would definitely take over, or
Simon on The Walking Dead.
Simon would take over or be killed in the process.
Yeah, he seems like
I don't think he would. He wouldn't last very longer if Negan was taken out.
I think
because he's so close to the boss that they wouldn't trust him alive.
Yeah, him and Gavin both got to die by the end of the season, as does Gregory, which it almost, I understand why it has to happen to make way for the next big baddie, but there's going to be a lot of bad guys dropping dead. And it's hilarious to me that people are like, I can't wait for Negan to die. It's like, wow, you don't know, but that's not happening. Just to let you know, they are not going to kill off Negan. That would... He's too big of a character.
That would another one that would tank the ratings, at least for a little while, because he's the villain, quote unquote, that you'd love to hate.
He's so quote unquote cool. He's like a cool bad dude. Something we didn't talk about, and I know some people want to hear our thoughts on it. Shiva and her death. I mean, it felt like more monetary budget concern to me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was definitely a monetary concern. It had to be, because it was such a, you know, the character of Shiva was, you know, she's a background character, but she was a foreground character too. And maybe the studio just ran out of money. Maybe they just didn't want to pay for the CGI of a tiger.
And they gave her the quote-unquote poetic fucking ending.
Poetic ending.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Bob that said in the blog, he's like, I struggle with a 500-pound tiger being cornered by 8 weak-as-hell walkers.
By 8 3-year-old walkers. I don't see that. You know, here's a 200-plus-pound tiger being taken out by walking bone.
Right, like, it's already been acknowledged that they don't have any strength anymore. Like, that's how Rick manages to run through a field full of them. Right. So, they've acknowledged it, so why are 8 of these things able to take out a fucking tiger is beyond me. It's not like, if you go back to season 1, all the 20 or 30 walkers that it took to take down the horse. And that's a horse, and it's not a vicious animal. Like...
Yeah, that's an 8-foot or a 6-foot horse, and... That was in the beginning of the series when the walkers had strength and weren't, you know, just walking skin sacks. Now you have a 200-plus-pound tiger you know, that their jaw has the crushing power that's immense. And now you're telling me that six walkers who are weak as shit can take down a... I don't believe that at all. That was probably just a money.
It was. So, you know, that's something else, though. I can't remember. I want to say maybe it was Biddy that said asked about if animals can get infected and or turn, and then I did like this whole fucking long ass like essay explaining my thoughts on it. But what it came down to for me was, we know that when you turn, your big thing is to feed. But that's kind of like a whole animalistic thing unto itself, is that an animal at its base wants to eat and mate. Like, those are the two, like, they want to survive.
That's
so
right.
If they got bit, like, would their thinking really change or alter all that much to the point, like, where it'd be noticeable?
I don't, well, you remember, I don't know if you ever see I Am Legend?
Yes, yes.
Remember, the dog was immune
yeah.
to the disease. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen an animal get bit or turn or whatever. The you know, there was the one episode where Daryl was hunting a deer, shot the deer went down, and then the walker started chewing on a deer. And he said, "Oh, maybe we can save this part." You know, they never addressed that. So
they had the
who knows.
What was the episode or season 5? Remember, they were starving. It was right before Aaron found them, and they met that pack of like rabid dogs. There was like 3 or 4 rabid dogs, and that was probably about the closest we've seen to aggressive animals, I think,
yeah, but we haven't really seen, you know, a zombie dog or a zombie whatever, yeah. So you don't really know.
I'm going to say that it's kind of like I Am Legend, and just to say this, by the time anybody's listening to this, maybe it's not true, but right now at audiobook.com, you can get I Am Legend for free. The free audiobook.
The auto book? I actually read that book. It's pretty good.
By Richard Matheson, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hopefully the deal will still be around. I'll post this tomorrow. This will be a lot easier. My God, the one that me and Melanie did, I have to do some creative things with. We went so many different places. It's great. Do you think by the end of the season we're going to have... I think it's safe to say Gabe is going to die. I think that's inevitable. Do you think any other major, quote-unquote, good guy will die? And if so, who do you want to go on limb say dies?
Good guy, per se? It's hard. I don't know. You kind of hope that the core people don't die, but... I don't know.
If you go analytically,
you know, maybe Father Gabriel, maybe someone from Alexandria.
I think it's got to be somebody from Alexandria, because there's nobody left to take from the kingdom. They're not going to take Ezekiel, Carol,
yeah,
or Jerry.
They've already taken a third. They've already taken a third of the people from the kingdom. There's only like a handful of dudes, those dudes left. So it has to be people from Alexandria, which I could see go either way.
Because Hilltop, once again, isn't supplied with anybody. You're not going to kill off Maggie, Enid, or Jesus. So you're really left with Alexandria, folks. I don't know.
What is Jesus's play? Like, what is his end goal?
As far as keeping the people alive?
Yeah.
It's somewhat of a spoiler, not really, it's common sense. After the war, people run Sanctuary. I don't want to name who, but there's two people in particular that run Sanctuary who we actually know from the show. You can probably take a good guess as to who they would be. It's a male and a female. So I think this will play into the fact that he's going to be like, after the war, they're going to keep them prisoner, I would assume, until after the war, and then be like, you can go back to Sanctuary and work with us, or you can either starve them out or give them the opportunity to run Sanctuary as part of the larger society of communities. Okay. I think that's, because it's not Jesus in the comics that comes up with this whole thing, I don't believe. I believe this is like a strictly TV thing, but my memory is shit, so... I could be off.
But I just don't understand.
I wouldn't trust it. What are you going to do? Are you going to feed them? Because, like, you want to feed them if you want them to work together with you.
But that's just more bodies to take care of.
More food wasted.
It's more people to take care of, more people to worry about, and the fact that they're not on your side. So now you have 20 or 30 people who want to kill you in your own, in your area. So now you have to dedicate people to watch them. There's people who can't fight in the war. I understand that there's a storyline that they have to follow, and they're precursoring different things that are going to happen or not going to happen, but it just drives me crazy. Like, it just drives me nuts. I don't get that.
Be surprised if, and this is sheer speculation, you know, they like to go with the angle of, well, not all of these people are saviors by will, intentionally, whatever. They're not willfully saviors, but right now they don't have an option because if they tried to leave, they would be killed. So right now they're, I bet they play on that emotional side of, okay, some of these people would rather just live, and they will live under whoever's servitude that they have to as long as they live. I can see them possibly going for that angle. There's a lot of themes that they go for in the show, and that seems to be something since, hell, even Terminus. I mean, think about how many people, not everybody started off as cannibals, but, you know, they had a good thing going, so they did it. Or even Woodbury, how quickly it was for the governor to rally the troops. So that's always been a theme.
Yeah, there's always going to be the people who are just out to live and don't care where they live or who they live for or under. So I can understand that concept of there's always going to be people who just want to survive. But again, we've already seen the level of brainwashing that Negan has done to these people, so how far do you trust them?
That's a tough call. It's super tough, because you always got the people that just want to survive, but you also got those people that want to rule. There's always those people with larger aspirations to try to be the top dog.
I mean look at Morales. He was a good guy. You know, granted, we only saw him for half a season before he left.
He left, like, episode 4, I want to say, so, yeah.
Yeah, so half a season. And he seemed like he was a family guy, worried about his family, wanted to take care of his wife and kids and everything else. And then we see him last week holding a gun to Rick's head, all pissed off, and you're the villain and everything else. So how we don't know when he got to Sanctuary, so we don't know what kind of influence that had on him. You know, was he out there by himself for a year, or did he make it to Sanctuary relatively quick and had spent all that time in there being brainwashed? We don't know. So again, hostages only complicate the situation.
Is it a hard pill for you to swallow to think that Morales end up in the exact same central location from Atlanta all the way up to Virginia? Like, come the fuck on. They're stretching the imagination,
you have Georgia, Carolinas, and Virginia, right?
Well, West Virginia, then Virginia, right?
West Virginia, Virginia, yeah. So you got four states. That's like 900 miles, give or take. There's no way in hell that they're going to meet.
What a coincidence. Come on.
It's a physical impossibility, just like Morgan.
Right.
There's no way that Rick would have found Morgan with the governor. There's just no fucking way. It's just impossible.
Right.
You know?
It's funny.
So they do stretch. I mean, to bring Morales back for what amounted to about an episode, time-wise, is kind of stupid, in my
opinion. Very stupid. It was just a nostalgia jolt.
For a minute, and then Daryl shoots him in the back with an arrow.
It was mainly done just so they could have a little bit more dissension between Rick and Daryl, which, how many more times do we have to hear that theme? Are we the bad guys because we're not giving these people a chance, or do we have to shoot to kill to survive? And, like, they've been beating this dead horse for how many fucking seasons, and
Are we the villains or not?
Like,
well, obviously you are, but we just haven't acknowledged it yet.
It is what it is. It's you're doing what you're need like to do Loka to survive, and everybody comes around to that philosophy or dies. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
simple. I don't know, especially with Rick and Daryl, why they have to shoehorn that in between two people that know better.
And two people who have been side by side for 8 seasons.
Right. It just really,
you know,
doesn't sit well with me.
They've been side by side, brother and brother, whatever you want to call it, for 8 seasons. And now all of a sudden you want to shoehorn some dissension between these two dudes? What are they going for? Are they going to split up after the war?
No.
Are they going to are they you know? Obviously not, but I mean what are they going for? It doesn't.
The whole thing would have made more sense if instead of, you know, if you replace Daryl or Rick with Jesus, because they've already shown Jesus has a different mindset and made it a bigger thing between Jesus and either Rick or Daryl. That makes some sense because Jesus has not been, you know, knee deep in the shit this whole time as far as Rick's group hit. So like it makes some sense, but like as you said, 8 seasons. They both have seen it. They both know.
They've both been in the shit and been in the war for 8 seasons, and now they're trying to shoehorn anger in these two guys who have been blood brothers almost between Terminus and between the governor and between the prison and between I think that's it. But yeah, but and now, it, like you said, it would have been easier and more believable if Jesus had gotten between them two and started spouting his bullshit about we have to save these
people. Like, at least it made sense with Morgan when he came back because he had that whole thing with Eastman. And, like, Eastman taught him these principles. And that made sense. Like, I was angry at Morgan for not wanting to kill the wolf there. But it made some sense because they provided that great, excellent episode with Morgan and Eastman. That was one of my favorite episodes.
They gave a backstory to what happened to him between A and B.
Right.
And,
but this is... I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything else that we may have missed. I know a lot of people are wondering if Ezekiel is going to carry on the role of king, or if he's going to need... Is he going to keep the public persona and eventually work his way back up to that?
I think he will. You know, you hear Jerry, you hear Ezekiel tell Jerry numerous times, "I'm not your king. I'm not your king." And Jerry said, "Dude, yeah, you are. You know, I need this. I need you to be my king." That's probably the only thing that they have left to hold on to.
Exactly, it is.
And now this chaotic scene that they're in with this war, trying to secure their future, they need him to be the king. You know, he lost Shiva. He'll bounce back from that. He can't give up the persona of the king just because it's going to shit. Jerry said, "I need you to be my... You're a cool dude. I need you to be my king." And I really think that once he heals up and gets back to his health, he'll bounce back. And he may not be the king that he was with the kingdom because they're all gone. But I'm sure he'll still use that character to rally the new troops.
He'll be the king that they need.
Exactly. He won't be the king that he was. He'll be the king that he has to be and the king that he needs.
He's like fucking Batman, man. Jeez. I'm really hoping, and this is, once again, just hopeful conjecture. I don't know if you remember the girl by name, but we saw her at the end of the episode, Nabila. She was the black chick that talked to Ezekiel last season. Just really nice, sweet chick. I'm hoping that her and Ezekiel have a conversation because I really love Nabila. I don't know why, she just seems like a really sweet character, and I want to hear her possibly like get into Ezekiel's ear and be like, "Listen, we need this, come on," type thing. I hope she gives him some kind of pep talk. And I don't know if we're going to go back to the kingdom for at least 2, if not 3 more episodes. I don't think so. But in hindsight, that the whole time I was actually enjoying that episode, I didn't really thoroughly enjoy any of the first 3 episodes as much. I thought this was like the first episode that felt like a Walking Dead episode. It felt like a character piece. Like, Walking Dead's at its best when it's a character study or moving stuff forward. And it did both here.
Yeah, the first two episodes were rough in the fact that it was just gunfire and fighting. It was just, you know, they got away from that. But I liked it also, like you said, the character development and the pushing the story forward as opposed to just gunfire and explosions.
Right. Like, we've seen it. I understood that there needed to be that. It was just, all right, we get it now. Now you guys got to go back to the planning. Like, get some more strategy involved. Make us care. Because right now, I don't know who half these people are that are firing. Good guys and bad guys. Yeah. Like, where the fuck's Arat? The chick that was on Negan's side with the short haircut.
Yeah, whatever happened.
I don't know. We haven't seen her. And I'm like, I thought she was one of Negan's, like, right-hand
people.
So I'm hoping to see her again. I mean, she's a great person to hate. Like, a lot of people dislike her, and she'd be great to see get her time to die. That's fine. I don't know. I'm optimistic about this next episode because I'm such a Eugene fan. I'm such a Simon fan.
I hated Eugene. I hated Eugene when he first came into the series, and then he kind of played his bullshit, and then he when he finally came clean that he wasn't who he said he was, and Abraham kicked the living shit out of him. It was so satisfying to see, but that he still wasn't giving up. You know, and then
he needed the ass kicking to become somebody different. He needed it.
Yeah, he did. He needed to change who he was, and it helped. But like I said, it was so satisfying because Abraham was so loyal to Eugene, and I had to get him to Washington. He's going to save the world. He's going to do this and do this and do this. And it's like, yeah, I've been bullshitting you the whole time.
In a way, I think Abraham acknowledges it later on, but like, without Eugene, Abe would have just been in the pity party and died. But Eugene gave him a purpose and rejuvenated Abraham's life, really.
Do you see any of Eugene and Gregory as far as whatever it takes to survive?
Oh, yes, except I think Eugene's 20 times smarter. But Gregory's a silver tongue. There's the difference. Gregory's the better talker, but Eugene's so much smarter.
Yes. That is true. But you do see the willingness to adapt to survive in both of them. But it's less offensive with Eugene than it is with Gregory. You don't want to choke Eugene out as much as you want to choke Gregory out.
Because Eugene's sitting there playing video games surrounded by hot chicks and still only worried about playing video games. And he has the mullet.
Yeah, what's up with that? He has the mullet, and the girls are there to serve a purpose. Everyone has a job in the apocalypse. And he's playing fucking video games. That really speaks about his mental capacity or his social awkwardness. That he's got three whores and he wants to play, you know, Madden 2012.
Yeah, like he didn't want to. Like, was he thinking, you know, like how like some boxers will not have sex for like a week or two before a fight, like to save that. Like, maybe he just didn't want to get unfocused. Like, I would love to know that psychology, or if he was just such a nerd.
I really think that in his persona, he's the kind of person that. This is gonna sound stupid. He wants to get to know them before.
Even in the apocalypse, he wants to do the nice
even
guy.
In the apocalypse, he wants to do the gentlemanly thing, and even in the apocalypse, and get to know them before you know. And he wasn't given that time. But again, you see that mental capacity, that way his brain works. It's all logic and it's all thinking. And there's.
But we also know that he was a giant perv because he used to just sit there and jack off watching Abe and Rosita. So, like, I also thought about that, and I'm like, well, he obviously has a sex drive.
But in hindsight, he knew Abe and Rosita.
It was familiar faces.
It was familiar faces, familiar butts that he knew that he could sit in the corner and not, maybe.
Fair enough. Do you think... All right, because I don't think it's going to happen, but I still wonder it. Somewhat spoilerish, but they haven't teased it at all. in the comic, Eugene and Rosita have like a really like short-lived thing that goes on. Do you think they're even going to bother with that?
At this point in the story, it's too far out.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of want to see Rosita do something, though, because I was starting to dig her character last year, and now she's been nothing so far.
I always liked her character.
Plus, she's eye candy.
Obviously, but even when she was subservient to Abraham, kind of second fiddle to his character, she still was a good character, and I think the death of Abraham really messed her up. I would like to see her come back and play more of a front role in the series. Hopefully that happens, because she did play a good character.
In this TV world, I think she will, because TV has clearly... Comic didn't do this well. The TV show has absolutely made more female characters more powerful, and Rosita seems like a person that would fit that role as a girl that may have been a little bit more subservient in the comic, but could be more powerful, more of a leader, more of a badass, whatever, in the show. So I'm hoping, because we are running out of fucking eye candy in the show. Really running out of... I mean, the ladies lost all the eye candy when Abe went down, because, you know, pasty ginger dudes.
These big pasty ginger no-soul dude.
And I fully believe... I don't know. I keep watching more and more stuff. I'm like, there's a lot of gingers making a comeback in TV and film. I'm calling it the Ginger Revolution. So I expect to see some new ginger this season. I don't know. Or maybe...
But do you think at this point in the game they can really introduce any new characters?
They will next season, like a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, God, it's interesting, because how some of that comes to be is via a girl, a younger girl that Carl obviously has a fucking raging clue for. With that being said, I don't know if they go and go that same... If they were to go down that same road, is it possible that Enid... Would they dare kill Enid? Like, will they kill somebody that young? I mean, they did kill Jesse's two kids.
Yeah.
But they were both assholes. And
they were both assholes.
Lizzie and Mika, though... Well, actually, I didn't even think Lizzie was an asshole. Like, she was troubled.
No. Which one did... Carol shot
Lizzie. Yeah.
Lizzie was a psychopath.
She was, yes. But...
She wasn't troubled. She was a fucking psychopath.
I love that girl, man.
Okay? She was the personification of every girl that age that you wonder if she could murder her entire family and not think twice about it. She was a psychopath. The sister was just naive. You know,
Mika was naive.
Naive.
Yeah.
Mika was naive about the world. You know, she'd been, and then it's funny because you read the comics and it's two boys. It's not girls, and that kind of makes it different. But the psychopath, and the fact that Carol shot a 10-year-old girl. Give or take?
Yeah, I'd say she's probably about 12, so, but yeah, I mean, she was young.
Ish?
Yeah. Preteen.
She was young. Shot a preteen girl in the back of the head.
Yeah. I mean, at least it made some sense when it was Carl doing it in the comic, but yeah. Carol doing it just, it was weird,
I watched an episode, and I'm just like, I was just like, holy shit, Carol shot a girl. 12-year-old girl in the back.
But it was such a callback to the story and the movie. Why the hell can't I think of it? John Malkovich and Gary Sinise. Mice and Men. That's all I could think of. Like that whole time.
The Rabbit's George. Yeah.
God damn it! That fucking movie gets me every time. Every time, man.
The Rabbit's George. The fucking Rabbit.
John Malkovich played such a good mentally handicapped person.
Yeah, it's a great movie. But no, I mean. Yeah, she was a psychopath. I don't know if they would kill Enid. I don't know. They killed the fat chick that was a nurse.
Denise.
Right? Denise. They killed Denise, but she was in her 20s or 30s, whatever it was. I don't know if they'd kill a teenager like that.
They killed the one boy that was pissed off and shot Carl in the eye. And he made sense to kill, though, because everybody hated that fucking kid.
Everyone hated that kid. Right. He deserved it. You know, but you kind of look at Enid and Carl. You're like, maybe they're the future.
You hope for it. Like, I like them as a couple.
Maybe they're the John Connor and Sarah Connor of the Walking Dead world, where they're the new future.
Me and Melanie talked about Terminator 2, so just interesting that in another Terminator conversation. It'll be interesting how they move forward with the next baddie, because Carl and his budding love for this girl play such a huge role in that whole storyline. So it's curious, and it makes me wonder how things will move forward. Obviously, we won't get any answers this season. It won't be until next season we get any kind of inkling of what's going to happen. But I am very curious how they do that, and it has made me wonder about Enid. That's about all I got for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited for it. We got 4 more episodes, and we'll take a break until probably like February, I'm thinking.
I hate the fact that there's so much of a break between seasons.
Wouldn't you rather just have 16 straight weeks and be done with it?
Yes. Because I'm an old dude. And I would rather have, like you said, 16 weeks and not have to worry about catching up. Because I had to watch the last season before this season started just to catch up, because it was such a long time frame between seasons. That's one thing I don't like about AMC, is the fact that they take such long breaks.
Yeah, it sucks for me because my short-term memory is so bad that I mean... people don't realize how many times I've watched all of these episodes. And that's the only way I can actually recall half the stuff I recall, is because I've watched it so many times.
Right.
Because people ask me questions all the time. So it's good to actually have the answers, but god damn, I have to put a lot of time in, and I'd rather just be 16 and done, and then before the next season, maybe I binge watch last season, or at least the second half, so I'm like, oh yeah, that all happened. And then I'm good.
Right.
Like, I have to do that with Game of Thrones every fucking year, because there's, you know, 3 times as many characters in that fucking show, and I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah, I actually used to watch Game of Thrones, and I stopped watching it because the storyline got so convoluted that I'm just like, I can't keep up. Like,
How far back did you stop?
I can't.
Do you, like,
the last time I watched it, they had killed the Hand.
Oh, okay.
And Joffrey was sexually assaulting some girl.
Okay. Wow, so you stopped probably like season 2 or 3?
Season 2 or beginning of season 3, yeah. It just got so... I wanted to like that show, but I don't... I have the attention span of a 6-year-old. I just got so convoluted that I just couldn't fucking handle it.
Dude, I understand, because... there's a lot going on, and you have to give it your full attention, and then probably, and then some after the fact. So, it is what it is.
What are your thoughts on the Fear the Walking Dead, Walking Dead crossover extra?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, and since I mentioned the Ginger Revolution, you know my answer, because they are heading to Houston, and there's a certain Ginger that would be alive right around that time frame. And he has done nothing with his career in a while. Like, I looked him up on IMDb. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, Cudlitz? You're awesome. Do something. Like, I love him.
Do something. Yeah, I, that's another show that I had watched the first few seasons, and I just kind of stopped watching it.
It got tough during the boat half of season.
That's where I stopped.
Yeah,
they're on that fucking boat, and I'm just like, okay.
it didn't get like, any better though. Like, that's the worst thing.
No,
only thing I can say is that I didn't watch all of the second half of this past season, which was 3, I think, and I just binge watched it. I watched all 8 episodes, and it was tolerable. But I get mad watching TV week to week. It's like anything though. And people struggle with this concept. TV is not as fun when you're doing week to week as it is when you can binge watch a full season. People struggle with this idea. I'm like, what's so hard to understand? You don't have to wait all this time to recall everything. You get instant gratification. That's why it works on so many levels.
Yeah, that's why I DVR everything, so I can go back and fucking watch one episode and then watch new episode to try to catch myself up, because it's just so busy that I can't handle week to week a lot of times. That's why I like stuff like Netflix does, Netflix or Hulu, where they unload an entire season in one clip, and I can watch the whole.
Yeah, I haven't watched season any of the Hulu originals, but there's like two of them. There's one with Jesse from Breaking Bad. I think it's called The Path. And then there's The Handmaid's Tale, which intrigues me.
You have to watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
You have to watch it. That and The Man in the High Castle on Amazon.
So I started one night and I'm like, I am so tired. I don't want to ruin this. So like,
you have to pick a day where you can be awake and not be exhausted up at 5 a.m. and watch The Man in the High Castle. It is such a fantastic show.
I definitely plan. I also wanted to watch Hand of God with Perlman because I love that dude.
I love Ron Perlman.
So there's shows. Plus, I promised Melanie that I would watch. Oh my God, American Vandal and Mindhunter. I think it was called.
She watches both those shows.
So I gotta watch those in exchange for her watching Wentworth, which basically I think because of how Orange went, Orange went down the tubes for a lot of people because of all the PC stuff. Let's go with that.
What Orange?
Orange is New Black.
Oh, yeah, I stopped watching that
show. So, Wentworth is an Australian show that's similar. There's similar themes. Obviously, it's a prison show. Like, there's always going to be similar themes. But they didn't go the PC route. They didn't make it the way that Orange did. And I think it's a better told story with better acting. So, the only thing that she might not like is that it's not much of a... There's not no comedy in it.
I have trouble watching prison shows.
Understandable, given...
I can't. You know, the only... In all honesty, the only reason I watched Orange is the New Black for the first couple seasons was A, for Donna from...
70 Show.
That 70 Show.
Laura Prepon.
And Laura Prepon, thank you. And the gratuitous lesbian sex. That's the only reason
I watched God, that show. Oh, God, yeah. They cut down big time on that after the first...
They cut down big time, and then it got real serious, and I said, no, I can't watch this anymore. So, I stopped watching that show a long time ago.
I got thinking about... I'm glad you brought up That 70s Show. Could you, like... I can't think of a show that fucked itself over more in the final season than that show by letting Eric... Once Eric Foreman's gone, he's the glue that holds... He's the reason.
He was the whole premise. So like, he was that show.
Right.
You know, and that's why I said before... That if Rick or Daryl were to die in The Walking Dead, there wouldn't be a Walking Dead.
The fans wouldn't come back to it, I don't think.
They wouldn't come back to it. Like, if they killed off Rick, Daryl... They could kill off Maggie and not have faced too many explosions, but Rick and Daryl are two pivotal people. If they were to kill them off at a mid-season finale or season finale... The season after that, it wouldn't exist.
Could they have gotten away with killing Daryl at the Lucille scene? Had it not been Abe or Glenn, had it been Daryl, could they have gotten away with it? I say they might have been able to, but it's questionable.
It would have been questionable because there was the whole, if Daryl dies, we riot, or if Daryl dies, we this. I think that even though he didn't exist in the comics, he is now the linchpin of that show. They could kill Rick before they killed Daryl.
In a lot of people's eyes, they could. I mean, it'd be a bad move, but they could
have killed. They could have killed Rick with Lucille before they killed Daryl, and it would have taken a hit, but they would have recovered because of, for some reason, people like
women,
Daryl.
Especially love Daryl. That's where they would lose. They would lose 50% of their audience instantly because women love Daryl.
Love a lot of
dudes like Daryl, but it's not as strong. He's not as strong with the male audience as he is with the female audience for obvious reasons. And, you can't lose the female demographic right now. The female demographic pushes so much stuff, especially on social media. dudes are still kind of behind on social media, but women are way up on it. So women help push the entertainment industry at this moment. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So
I couldn't. I couldn't see them without either of them.
No, Rick. Do you think Rick will ever be able to recover and have a normal acting career past Walking Dead?
It'll take him a little while. You know, this will either be his jump off to something else, or you'll never see him again.
Like, I've seen Norman in some stuff, obviously Boondock Saints being the obvious one, but I've seen him in some other stuff prior, and I liked him.
And now he has that TV ride. Show Ride or whatever it is with the bikes.
He'll be fine.
Has Andrew Lincoln been in anything major besides The Walking Dead? All
right, so... Oh, what the fuck was... All right, so there was a British chick flick that came out, and it had all these huge stars, and he was in it, and it was so pathetic watching him in it, but honestly, God, I'm going to hell for...
See, Love Actually in 2003.
Was it that? Does it have Hugh Grant in it? Yeah, that's it.
I think so, yeah.
For a chick flick, that was surprisingly tolerable. It had Liam Neeson in it.
Yeah. I'm looking up on IMDb, and it's all, like, no-name bullshit shows. So, I mean, he might be able to jump off this after it's over, but you got to wonder what he can get.
I don't think he's ever going to get huge lead roles again, like... If he do, I think it's going to bomb. I think he could be like a good third or second guy. I'll tell you who did a great job, the bouncing back, was Bryan Cranston. He was Heisenberg, but Bryan Cranston's such a great fucking actor that he's still successful. And that's actually pretty amazing. Perlman's another guy. He survived Sons of Anarchy. And where Charlie Hunnam, I don't know what the fuck Charlie Hunnam's doing anymore.
I don't think anything worth living or anything worth noting. You know, speaking of Breaking Bad, they had a picture online of a walker next, you know, a split picture of Walker and Bryan Cranston, and they looked similar. What are your thoughts on the theory that Breaking Bad caused The Walking Dead?
I think it would be amazing. I will note that...
Because they have mentioned it before when they were on the road looking for Sophia, and Daryl pulls out a bag of pills saying he got it from some tweaker, and he mentions Jesse without saying his name.
Well... Just to add on to the theory, rather than give a thoughtful opinion, in Fear the Walking Dead this past season, when they're at this apocalyptic market, they're in Mexico, and you hear the Ballad of Heisenberg playing over the loudspeaker. And I was like, wait, I know this song. I don't know main mariachi song, so I was like, holy shit, it's the Ballad of Heisenberg. And I was like, that makes sense. It's on AMC. I'm saying there's a very good chance that could be tied together without them ever... they don't ever have to definitively do it, but will they throw in another Easter egg or two before it's all said and done? Absolutely, I think so.
And I truly like that stuff when they do that, because it shows kind of a continuity of timelines.
Sure.
You know, it's not necessarily connected, but it is, you know?
And fortunately, like... For a while, they couldn't do that because technology advanced at such a weird, rapid pace over the late 90s and early, like, to 2010 with internet, computers, and cell phones. Now we're starting to even out where it's more plausible that with this, like, now everybody has a cell phone. Now it's not a novelty. We haven't hit a lull, but, like, all those big advancements would be noticeable for continuity. Now it's not so bad.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it was like, even in Sons, nobody had a fucking smartphone because they all just had burner phones, and it worked.
Right, they all had track phones, and it worked.
Didn't they say Sons and The Shield were...
were connected in some fashion. Another fantastic show.
That I have not fucking watched, and I hate myself for it. I never have. Yeah,
The Shield?
I've never watched it.
I have it on DVD.
I saw it for like $27 on Amazon, and I didn't pull the trigger.
You pick it up, man. I watched that thing from start to finish. That was a fantastic show for the time that it was on. Very dark. Chiklis played a fantastic character.
Did Kurt Sutter write that as well?
Yes, he did. It was a fantastic show. I love The Shield. To this day, that's probably the best police drama. You know, besides like NYPD Blue or I've never seen Blue Bloods. I just don't have the time or the effort to watch that damn show. But it was a fantastic show.
All right, so I'm thinking ahead. Probably, there's no sense of, it sucks doing a podcast week to week on an hour long show. There's no point. But I'm going to say maybe looking at the calendar right now, if we hit it up just right, I would say we should come back and do this. We can do this every 2 weeks, or we can do this in the 4 week mark. Do we should do a podcast after the midseason finale, no doubt. We should definitely do it. And if something of interest really comes up over the next 2 weeks, we could consider it because it'll be in between holidays. The holiday season is, oh shit! Actually, the
next Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I'm noticing that the midseason finale should be on my birthday, which is the 10th. So that's not, it's close, but not terribly close to Christmas. So we're in the clear moving forward to do whatever. So just for anybody listening, I don't know, we may be back in 2 weeks, we may be back in 4 weeks, but we will be back at least after the midseason finale. At the very least, we should definitely come back and do one. I don't know. I'm excited. Like, I still love the show. I know I take a lot of shit from people now because it's become a cool thing to rip on The Walking Dead, and I'm just like, whatever. You know what? It's a cool thing to rip on various bands or TV shows, and I don't give a fuck. I still like Metallica. Suck it. I don't care.
Now, who doesn't like Metallica? I mean, come on. But no, it's still a great show. It still provides the entertainment. It still provides the storyline and the gore that you've come to expect. You know, it's getting, like you mentioned before, they're taking certain liberties with timing and storyline with Rick and Daryl saving the day, but it's still a good show.
That's the thing. People can nitpick one show. It's like Game of Thrones. Everybody nitpicked how fast the dragon flew this past season. I don't want to ruin it, but the dragon got from point A to point B in incredibly ridiculous speed, unbelievable shit. And people nitpicked it. I did, but it's still like, it's a show to, you can still nitpick and enjoy the hell out of it. That's where I'm at. Like, I like to pick on the show. Like, when it does something silly, yes, I am going to pick on it, and I hope that everybody else picks on it along with me in the blog, but I still enjoy it. Like, it's still...
Yeah, I still enjoy watching the show. It's still a good show that I still take time out of my day to watch and sit down and watch for an hour, or just because I missed the last week's thing, 2 hours of binge-watching The Walking Dead. You know, and for the longest time, I didn't watch the show. I can remember sitting in my living room on my phone, binge watching Walking Dead on my phone for a week or 2 weeks straight to catch up because I didn't watch it. And now, oh yeah, everyone's watch the show. And I spent 2 weeks binge watching it to the point where I had to not watch that night because I was having zombie dreams.
That's...
You know, so it's still a great show, and I hope that they continue it in this fashion, and I hope that at whatever time that it's deemed necessary to end the series, they end it on a high note and they don't drag it out and beat it like a dead horse.
Yeah, I think after they finish their storyline with the next big baddie, which I think is going to take another 2 seasons. So I say after season 10 would probably be a good point. Like, they haven't really wrapped up this big baddie. But they're also like, they've also made communication with somebody else. Like,
do you think that they'll bring Oceanside back?
Yes, Kirkman already said that they would on Talking Dead. So, yeah. By the way, that new Kirkman show about the history of comics, even though it's something I don't really know much about, I just, prior to getting on here with you, I was watching the one about Marvel with Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. really well done stuff. So I'm gonna watch the Wonder Woman one tonight. So I highly recommend anybody that is remotely interested. Like, I like a documentary that's not. I don't like fucking 2-hour documentaries. I like shorter ones. So that one I liked. I watched a Ric Flair one. I know you're not a wrestling fan, but you probably know who the fuck Ric Flair is. Exactly. Woo! Like, they did one on ESPN. It was really well done. So I like shorter documentaries on subjects that, you know, I find interesting. So I highly recommend that show. With that, do you have any final thoughts or any final questions before we wrap it up?
No, all right, good.
Cool.
I'm good.
Well, then for Eric, this is Kent. This has been another edition of Are You Not Kentertained? And like I said, we will be back probably at some point in late November, early December. Thank you and have a good night.
Thank you, Kent.